Hardly. Well, it will come. I'm sure it will come. It will come. It will arrive. There it is. Good afternoon. Very warm welcome to this Antioch meeting. And I'm delighted to see a few guests. Karen has just walked in the door. Woohoo! Lovely to have you. Trevor is here. It's lovely to have Trevor back. And we have a collection of Yateses. Wonderful. Any other guests that we would like to... Okay. And we have Tommy just arriving as well, so warm welcome to Tommy. Wonderful. So this is our last meeting of the term and the academic year. And for those of you who are not familiar with this building, should we have a fire, we'll go straight back out the door you came in or back through the side entrances. If you need the toilets, please go through this door, take an immediate right turn, and then up and down the stairs, up for ladies, down for gents, is where you'll find the toilets. So please do take advantage of those if you need to. Antioch, for anyone who doesn't know us, we're not a church. We're an ecumenical, charismatic, covenant community and part of the Sword of the Spirit. If you do want to find out any more about us, then please simply ask or look on our website. You would have seen or read in the newsletter and Dan's email on Friday that today we're going to conclude our series on the Trinity, and we're going to hear from Salim with a slightly orthodox perspective about a work in the person of the Holy Spirit. So that's really exciting. We're looking forward to that. And as you would have also read in that email, we're going to kind of change tack about 5 o'clock, and so we're going to aim to finish the main meeting by about 5, and then we'll change tack and hear from Dan, who's going to update us with some, just where we're at as a community and how we might perhaps use the summer to reflect and to think through that and pray and fast perhaps through that. So for today's meeting, the Coordinators Council met on Monday, and Hugh shared from the Gospel of the Day, which was about the women who had been suffering and subject to bleeding for 12 years. And it sort of spoke to us then, and it's sort of been speaking to me, I guess, through the week. And it's one of those stories that you can either sort of superficially just kind of dash past because it's sort of tucked in the middle of Jairus' daughter's story. You know, it's just for Jairus, it must have been a huge distraction. He's just trying to get Jesus to his daughter to pray for him. And this other woman just pops in and makes a bit of a distraction. But clearly for her, it's the main event. She has shown a huge amount of courage to come to Jesus. She has been suffering from this bleeding for 12 years, we're told. She's lost everything to try and find a medical solution. Under the Levitical rules, she's effectively banished and is unclean. Anything she touches is unclean. Anyone she meets probably is unclean. So she's probably been ostracized for those 12 years. And it must have been a really difficult and challenging decision whether to come out and risk being seen in that crowd. We assume she's probably lost an awful lot of blood in that time and is very weak. And probably to actually get out of her house or bed will probably be a huge effort, and to force her way through a very large crowd and try and get to Jesus like everyone else was, I can't imagine was an easy task. But something in her has helped her decide that just to touch Jesus's robe would be enough to heal her. And then having been healed, she has the courage when Jesus says, "Who touched me?" to actually say, "Yes, that was me." And the contrast with Jairus, I guess, is fascinating. For Jairus, it wasn't a matter of just being touched by Jesus or having, but he had to get Jesus to his daughter. He felt that was the appropriate action that needed to happen. Jesus had to engage, he had to get from A to B to his daughter, lay a hand on her and heal her. And then we think of the centurion in Matthew 8. For him, Jesus just had to say the word. He didn't have to go anywhere near his servant, just had to say the word, and he'd had the confidence that that servant would be healed. So I guess the question is, where are we in that story? Where am I in that story? So are we at the beginning stage? Are we at the bleeding stage, just trying to fix it ourselves? How long have we been there? Are you at the stage where you've run out of ideas? You're at your wit's end. You don't know what to do. Are you at that point of realization where perhaps if you just bring it to Jesus, if you think, if I just bring this to Jesus, he can sort it out. But you really have no idea how to do that. It's just too difficult. You just don't have the energy. You just don't know how you're going to get through that barrier of unbelief. Or perhaps you've reached the point where you're ready to get on your knees to ask Jesus to intervene. Or have you already brought it to Jesus, and are you at that point where you've been healed and there's a good news story to tell? Just a trivial example. This week, I suffered from hiccups all last weekend and couldn't get rid of it. Saturday, Sunday, into Monday. I had to chair a meeting on Monday morning, first thing. It's not easy with hiccups. You try it one day. And the response afterwards from my secretary was, "I've got this new technique. It's all right, we've got this technique. We can sort it, you know." And she, this thing, I don't know. Anyway, it didn't work. And then about midday, one of my managers came in and said, "Why don't we just pray for these hiccups?" I went, "Yeah, sure." And he prayed for them in the name of Jesus, and they were gone, just like that. And then I was able to share with my secretary, who's not really a Christian, and that her technique didn't work, but guess what? Someone else's did. And a few other people through the day asked me how I was doing with them, and I was able to share that they'd gone, that the Lord had healed them. Bit of a trivial example, but God intervenes and wants to act today. So wherever you are in that story, whatever you're struggling with, I think today we want you to experience the Holy Spirit through what, perhaps the story of that lady, through what Salim is going to say to us. And we're going to start with Salim. We're going to invite him up now. We're going to ask him to speak to us and talk us through the role and person of that Holy Spirit and how we can ask the Holy Spirit to do more in our lives. So Salim, come up and we'll say a prayer for you. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brother. We thank you for him. We thank you for the work he has done in preparing this talk for us. And Lord, we just want to have our ears opened, our eyes opened. We want to hear how your Spirit can move and work in our lives and how it's been moving and working for centuries in your church. Lord, may you encourage us and may you fill us with your Holy Spirit as we listen to you now. In Jesus' name.